Good morning, everybody. We're ready to begin our class. Will you take your Bibles, please, and open with me to Matthew chapter 5. And we're continuing our study of the Beatitudes. It's my impression as I study each one of these that in the past, so often we've just passed over these. We've read them many times, but very seldom do we go into the depth on each one of these, because each one is a separate entity within itself. Each one is a very, very powerful and important lesson for us. Now, today we're going to be looking at verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. We're calling our series The Keys of the Kingdom. Here are the principles that reaches our hearts, that opens the kingdom of God to us. Jesus said one time, the kingdom is within you. A lot of the Jewish people were looking for the kingdom, very much like the kingdoms they had known in the Old Testament, with an earthly king and with certain favors in that kingdom. They failed to see the importance of the spiritual aspect of the kingdom. In ancient times, the Isle of Crete was called Makarios. And incidentally, that is the very word that's used here at the beginning of each one of these Beatitudes. Blessed or blessed translates the word Makarios. Now, it was called that because it was thought that on the Isle of Crete, there was everything that a person would need to sustain life. For example, there was plenty of water, plenty of food, and vegetation. In other words, it was self-contained. So they had enough for themselves and enough for others as well. I thought about America. Could not we call America Makarios? Blessed. Indeed, we have all in this country to sustain us. God has blessed America. And America is a blessing to us. And so, each one of these Beatitudes begins with that very word, Makarios, blessed. What it means is more than happy, having all that you need spiritually. So here are attitudes of being, be attitudes, attitudes of being. And they deal with Christian character. Christian character. You know, character is what we are. Reputation is what others think you are. Character is what's important. Now, reputation is a good thing. And if our character is what it ought to be, then I think the reputation will follow. But the most important thing is what we are. Not necessarily what we do, but who we are. Now, all of us here today are going to die someday. Some sooner than they think. And when we do, we're going to leave behind all that we have and all that we've done. And we'll take with us all that we are. Now, let that be absorbed. We'll leave behind all that we have, all that we do. We'll carry with us all that we are. So it's character that's most important. Now, most of all people I've known that you know want to be happy. Everybody wants to be happy. And we're seeking happiness, it seems, rather than blessedness. Those who are seeking happiness the most seem to find it least. Because happiness is not something you find by looking for. It is something that you stumble over when you're seeking blessedness. And we need to understand that. If you seek happiness, you'll never find it. But if you seek God and blessedness, it will come our way. That's what Jesus is talking about here in these Beatitudes. And so today we're going to look at this one. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. At the top of my notes, I've got down these two words. The mighty meek. Three words really. Mighty meek. But the world doesn't consider the meek to be mighty. Three things we want to do in our lesson in the next 25 minutes. We want, first of all, to find the definition, the true spiritual definition of the meek. And then we're going to look at it, how it's developed. And then thirdly, the dynamic of it. Our first question is this. What does it mean to be meek? Now, if there's anything or one thing that the world would say is not blessed, it would be the meek. The meek aren't considered great at all in the world because we don't think of the meek as being a blessing at all. The world says this, blessed are the mighty. Blessed are the powerful. Blessed are the muscle men. Blessed are the money men. Blessed are the politically correct. Here's our problem. We think of the meek as weak. So we need to know what meekness is. So the first thing I'd like to do is consider what it is not. What we're not talking about here. First of all, meekness is not weakness. For if it were, then Jesus would be weak. He said this, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Matthew 11, verse 28. Was Jesus weak? Have you ever thought of Jesus as weak, let me remind you to read your Bible where he fasted 40 days and nights. Could one who is weak do that? In the wilderness where there were wild beasts, Mark tells us. How many macho men do you know that could do that? If you think that Jesus was weak, get a picture in your mind of the occasion when he made a whip, and he drove those money changers out of the temple and overturned their tables where they were carrying on business and merchandise right there in the temple. Do you think that Jesus was weak, the one who said, the foxes have holes, the birds have nests, the Son of Man does not have a place to lay his head? So these pictures of Jesus, you know, that you see today, where he looks like he just stepped out of a beauty parlor, sort of make me sick. They do not represent the picture of our Lord. Think of his enduring that scourge. That's almost unimaginable, the pain that one would have to bear. Do you know the man who was called the meekest man in the Old Testament? You're right, it was Moses. And when you think of Moses, that general who led some 3 million Israelites out of Egypt through that barren wilderness, put up with them for 40 years, that's not weakness. But he's called the meekest man in all the earth. I'll tell you something else. Meekness not only is not weakness, but it's not cowardice. It's not a milquetoast kind of character, a wishy-washy kind of person. Here's something else. Meekness is not an easygoing indifference to truth and right. It's not peace at any price. Some today would compromise truth in order just to avoid any kind of disagreement with people. Some would allow falsehood and religious error to have a heyday simply because they don't like controversy. So what is meekness? What is it? The word literally means to be yielded. So what is meekness? We're talking about yieldedness here, to soothe, calm, to tame, to abate. This is a word that was used of an animal, a wild animal, that had been tamed. A wild stallion, you know, might be strong. You've seen pictures of them back in the day when horses used to run wild out in the West. And every now and then you would see a beautiful black stallion or a beautiful white stallion. But that stallion was of very, very little value until the stallion was tamed or calmed, or a word often used was broken or yielded. So meekness carries with it the idea of strength or power under control. That's about the best definition that I could give. Power under control. J. Wallace Hamilton wrote a book years ago entitled Ride the Wild Horses. And in that book, he points out that when God made us, He put within our nature certain ambitions, certain drives, certain instincts. And they're not evil within themselves. God placed those within us. But these drives or these instincts, ambitions, need to be yielded. And he pointed out that the word meek suggests the idea of a wild stallion being broken. And when an animal, any kind of animal like a horse or a mule, is domesticated, it is trained so a rider can sit on its back, or where the animal can pull a plow. I grew up on the farm, and so I can tell you firsthand how important it is to be broken, that is an animal, to be broken so they can be used. Whether you ride a horse or whether you plow a mule, it was important for them to be broken. And so a horse or an oxen, as in many cases, that were used in the early days. And my dad, I can remember him breaking mules. You know, they still have Mule Day over at Columbia, Tennessee. And a lot of the farmers would bring in their mules, and many of them are beautiful and well trained. The idea is when they're yielded to the owner, the master, thus they could be used effectively by him. So, strength under control. That's what meekness is. It's a compliant spirit. We've stressed that these Beatitudes come in order. Like that poverty of spirit that we saw in the first one, where we recognize our utter spiritual bankruptcy before God, which prompts that mournful spirit of the second one, that is contrition, godly sorrow for our sins, which brings about repentance. So really here in these first three, you see first our condition, then you see our contrition, and then you see control. Now, all of these are basic to the kingdom of God. All of these are fundamental to our lives as Christians. So, in this book I made reference to, it was a very interesting book. He raised this question, how do you deal with wild horses? And he pointed out, one thing you can do is just let them run wild. How do you deal with humanity? You know, there's a generation that says, just let everybody run wild. Do their own thing. Don't place any restraints upon people. Let the children assert themselves. Let them follow their natural bent. Want to get drunk? Then get drunk. Want to binge? Then binge. Want to pickle your mind, your brain on drugs? Then go for it. Want to be immoral? then just go for it. No control, no self-restraint. Let me tell you, the leading apostle of that view, his name was Nietzsche. You know one of his best students? And many of our World War II veterans died in order to stop this tyrant. His name was Hitler. Let me read you a quote from Hitler. "Get rid of your pious priests and their weak-livered gospel of mercy. Purge out of your souls the disease, this devil of Christianity. Progress depends on the strong man and the strong people. Therefore, be strong. Assert yourself. Be a superman." And that's what Hitler attempted to have. And the result? The gas chambers in which literally millions of Jews, men, women, and children, lost their lives. The Holocaust. And the war in which many of our relatives lost their lives. And so here's a man who said, just let the wild horses run. Basically, that was his view. So, one way is to let the horse run wild. Another way is to cripple the horse. And in this book by Hamilton, he points this out. So the horse can't run at all. That's Buddhism. Have you ever seen a big fat Buddha sitting there listlessly, totally apathetic, no concern about anything or anybody? Well, that is the philosophy of Buddhism. And so it means simply this: the thing that causes your difficulty, your problems, is that you have all of these desires, all of these drives, and you're frustrated because those drives aren't met. So what you do is to somehow come to the place where you negate all of these desires. So when you come to that place, you know what they call it? It's their heaven, nirvana, nirvana. So you're never disappointed. You're never frustrated. Now, that's no more biblical than the idea of letting the horse run wild or humanity run wild. So, Jesus is not saying here in this beatitude, blessed are the meek, let the horse run wild, nor is he saying cripple the horse. Our Lord says, blessed are the meek. Here's some verses that will help us appreciate this. Romans 6, verse 19. "For as you have yielded your members," that would be your eyes, your ears, your tongue, your feet, that's your members, "as you have yielded your members as servants of uncleanness," which had characterized them before their conversion. So he says, now yield your members as servants to righteousness unto holiness. That's the change that occurs when we become Christians. The old life is put away where we ran wild. Let our desires just be fulfilled in any way. Now we yield these drives, these instincts, these ambitions to the Lord Jesus Christ. And thus we become servants of righteousness unto holiness. In other words, you still have the same tongue, the same eyes, the same feet, but now, rather than using your tongue to blaspheme, you use it to pray. You use it to thank God. You use it to lift and encourage others. All of your members yielded to Christ become instruments of service to the Lord. So, God doesn't hobble the tongue. Rather, God uses the tongue as it is yielded to Him. The feet, rather than running into mischief, are feet that take the good news of salvation.
Yielded feet.
Now, let me tell you, friends, there is only one who can yield us. We cannot yield ourselves. There is one who can tame us. That one is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm convinced that it is a progression. It doesn't happen immediately. That's why we're to grow as Christians in Christ Jesus. So we've seen the definition of it, but now how is it developed in us? Blessed are the meek. But how do you get it? How does that come? Note here, there's a sequence. If you've never been broken, then you're never going to be meek. We can sit in church buildings. We can be heady and haughty and high-minded and unbroken and unbent, thinking, of course, that, you know, somehow we've done God a great big favor by being here. We can walk and never see our condition, never being touched in heart to mourn over our sins, because we've never yielded ourselves. Yielded ourselves to the Lord. Now, but how are we going to do that? How's that come about? Let me give you three things to consider here. First of all, if we would become meek, that is, yielded to the Lord, we must be submitted to the Son of God. Put these verses in your margin. Matthew 11, 28 to 30, I used some of that a while ago. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. Jesus is saying, I want you to take my yoke. You ever thought about what that means? To take my yoke upon you. See, it's not only you, but you and Christ linked together. Two oxen are yoked together. And so when we become Christ's, we are yoked with Him. So we need to get the picture here. When two oxen are yoked together, one is the leader. And when we're yoked with Christ, Christ is the leader. And as the leader, He's always beside us. He's near us. He's with us. He is in us. And what did Jesus say about this? My yoke is easy. But only when we are yielded to Him. That is, it fits right. When we're yoked to Christ, it fits right. Everything is right. Christianity is not something you have to do. It is something you get to do. And for the yielded, it's not all that hard. It's not difficult to worship God if you're yielded to Him. If you're not yielded, it'll always be difficult. For the yielded, the question is not, must I serve? But where and how can I best serve? See the difference this beatitude makes in our lives. So the Lord is not going to force us to take His yoke. There's no power available to force us to come to Him. There's no power available to keep you from coming to Him. But He invites all to come. But coming is our prerogative and ours alone. You must take the yoke and learn of Christ. That's yieldedness. But if you would be meek, not only must you be submitted to the Son of God, you must be responsive to the Word of God. Like this morning, we heard a great lesson on love, loving each other. But we must respond to that message in our lives. James 1:21, listen. Wherefore, lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness. There's our word we're studying today. That is, yield to it. When God speaks to us, touches our hearts, we need to yield to that in our lives. The engrafted word that's able to save our souls. So meekness is submission to a higher power. And not only must you submit to the Son of God, you must respond and receive the Word of God. Like those people on Pentecost, it is said that they were meeked. That is, when they received the Word, they yielded to it, and it brought forth fruit. About 3,000 were responsive to the gospel. So to receive it, we must be taught by it, we must learn from it, and then respond to it in obedience. And the third thing here, then we must let the Spirit of God fill our hearts so that Spirit will bring forth fruit. Now look at this fruit. Galatians 5:19. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. That's what we heard about that this morning. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness. There's our beatitude right here in this list of the fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit of God produces fruit in us, and one is meekness. And here's the last thing I want to consider. I got just 2 or 3 minutes here. What's the blessing of meekness? They shall inherit the earth. What does that mean? Some people were trying to convince me one time that that meant literally that we're going to be in charge of this earth. When Jesus comes back, He's going to set up His kingdom, and we're going to inherit the earth in that fashion. But 1 Thessalonians 4 says that His coming, the righteous, will be raised up, and the living will be called up to meet them in the air, and we'll forever be with the Lord. And then misguided souls say that the earth here will be purged and made, you know, the eternal abode for all of God's folks except the 144,000 mentioned in Revelation. They'll be, you know, in heaven, and the rest here on this purged earth. That's not taught in the Word of God. So what is it? Shall inherit the earth. I believe it speaks of the here and the hereafter, that is, of the sweet by and by and the nasty now and now. 1 Corinthians 3:21. Therefore, let no one boast in men. Get this line. For all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. That's a powerful verse. Quite an inheritance, don't you think? What possession? Here's one more verse, 2 Corinthians 6:10. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet always making rich. As having nothing, and yet, get this, possessing all things. All things. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. My friends, what a great lesson for all of us to be yielded to God. The importance of yieldedness. To have that broken spirit. Blessed are the meek.